This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Second guest for this part of the programme is Martine Robbins from the HR department in Woking.
Hi there.
Welcome to Just Women.
Thank you very much.
And it's lovely to have you here. We'd love to know a little bit more about what brought you to being HR department Woking and how that came about.
Well, basically, it was a decision 2 years ago to come out of corporate HR and decide to work for myself. I got to the point where I felt I'd achieved everything in a corporate HR role. I had a little bit of an insight into the SME world locally, and I felt it would be a great opportunity to work more with SME business owners and use the benefit of my knowledge and experience gained over those many years in corporate world and help them grow their businesses, because often it's about making what I do more accessible.
Yeah.
And it's finding a way of doing that, and I've seemed to have sort of latched onto that now, which is great, and I'm really enjoying it.
And did it feel like a natural transition then? So, or did were there hurdles you had to overcome, or was it fairly smooth?
I'd say it's fairly smooth. I think you have to sort of leave some of the corporate baggage behind, not least of all the language that you use, and perhaps the way you behave, particularly if you've been in that environment for a long time, you can get quite conditioned by it. But really, it's about trying to say, you know, market what you can do for small and medium-sized business owners in a way that they can see the value, and it is all about adding value.
Brilliant. So when you were in the corporate world, were you commuting to London?
Yes, I've done all those things. Yes, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. So I've spent a lot of time sort of commuting to London, commuting around Europe and further afield. Mm. So the business travel thing, yeah, been there, done it, got the T-shirt. It's not glamorous. It's quite hard work. Mm. And I think you get to a point where you learn a lot from the experiences. From a cultural perspective, it was fabulous. But it gets to a point where you think, I've seen enough planes now. I'm quite happy to just see the inside of my own office and live with that.
And your family, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
Your family are pleased to have you not jetting off everywhere.
Yes. I think when my children were very young, they didn't really mind that much. But as they get older, they need you in a different way.
That's the right way around.
And it's nice to be able to be there and sort of, you know, help them through the challenges of school and GCSEs and all the other good things that are coming through at the moment. So I'm enjoying that as well.
Mm-mm. So when you actually worked abroad in corporate HR, did you find they did things a lot differently to how we do them, in a better way or not such a good way?
I think it depends on the company and the country. So around Europe, you get a lot of similarities with some of the country approaches. Obviously, the legislation is very different. So at the time when I was doing a European HR role, I was responsible for 12 countries in Europe. So apart from the UK, there were 11 different languages, 11 different employment structures to sort of be aware of and to work within. So for that, it was challenging, but I had a team to work with me. Mm. But I did enjoy the fact that, again, you could go out and work with different businesses, different business owners and stakeholders and take them through the journey. You know, if you're trying to introduce a new initiative, it would be great to get them on board. And often making sure that you're understanding what that means, and it is about the cultural differences. You know, people often sort of laugh about it, but there are some quite hefty ones out there in different countries, so you have to be mindful of it. And I think if you are a European or a global business, if you're not losing sight of the fact that, you know, communicating effectively with another country that hasn't got English as its first language, you know, always find the different ways to communicate correctly, you often get the success you're looking for.
So what sort of things would they have in other countries that you think, gosh, we'd never have that in this country?
Wow. I think a lot of it is just the protection around legislation, really. So we always used to joke when I worked in my European role that we wanted to be German on a Dutch contract with some of the Belgian benefits, because all of those things thrown in were a great combination. But when you sort of separate them out, a lot of Central European legislation is very, very similar. Mm. Lots of protection for the employee, more challenges for the employer.
Mm. So was that changing when we all went into the EU? So we sort of got ones that are set down by the EU then? Will it change when Brexit
happens?
Yeah,
I mean, obviously when we went into the EU, we adopted a lot of the legislation, and I think the probably the most value that has been added there is for health and safety. having spent some time in engineering, manufacturing and construction industries, I could understand some of the perils and the pitfalls, particularly relating to health and safety. So I think, you know, one of my hopes is with Brexit is that we actually take the best of the legislation that's come through from Europe on health and safety, not the bureaucratic stuff, because I think it's got its foundations within UK business now, and everybody quite likes working to those structures. But a lot of the other things, I think, you know, would be a good opportunity for a rethink, which I'm sure we will be getting.
I mean, that's invaluable, I would imagine, for a small new company, because they won't come on board, they won't start a company with all of that knowledge.
Exactly.
And actually, that's a new thing to learn, isn't it?
It is.
You need people with expertise.
That's the challenge. And I think, you know, often the reason why someone starts their own business is because they want to provide a service or a product, and they're very focused and energised in doing that. And all the peripheral stuff, whether it's the legal stuff or the accountancy support or the HR stuff, is way down on the list, because that's not the reason why they went into business, unless they happen to be working in those industries. So it's making sure that you can help a business owner focus on that core area of expertise.
Because actually, technically speaking, and I know it sounds a bit dramatic, but if you're running a business and very enthusiastic and put a lot of money in, and you employ someone but you don't protect them or whatever, they could actually sue you for all your money, couldn't they, if they were really permanently injured or something. So it's so important for them. They probably might not even think like I've just thought but it's so useful to have all those things set up.
Are you taking their pain away, actually, because that's a painful part of the business. It is
It's very painful. I do see myself as a painkiller in that
respect.
Because you're right. I mean, you know, some of the challenges we've got around legislation, whether it's just employment legislation or health and safety, is very, very challenging and very complex. And again, business owners haven't got the time, the inclination or the expertise to pick apart how it applies to their business or what the implications could be for their business. So it's trying to, again, guide them through, de-risk the situation and sort of say to them, right, okay, you know, these are the choices. And again, they don't want the 20 reasons why they can't do something. They want the one reason that can help them move forward if they're sort of dealing with a particularly challenging situation.
It's the one thing, really, that you've actually noticed that so many people don't realise needs to be covered when they've got a small business?
I think a lot of it is just really the basic initial compliance, which is make sure that you have a good contract of employment. I still come across businesses that have been trading for many, many years that don't have employment contracts now. And as you have pointed out, the fact that employment tribunal fees have been rescinded as of July last year, you know, if you have employees with over 2 years' service, you are at risk. If you know you could be in a challenging situation with an employee, those things can just rise up out of nowhere, and you can't always anticipate it. So I think the key is make sure you have something that is robust, that is actually right for your business as well, not just a boilerplate template off the internet. Have something that is tailored to your business, so you know that everything that you want to achieve from a business point of view is captured in a contract, if that's what you're looking to do.
So what about firms where people are working with lots of equipment which perhaps might be very old or something and go wrong and really injure them? I mean, would your advice even sort of cover things like these really need to be replaced for health and safety reasons, or is that not really your domain?
We do advise on health and safety as well. So again, we can go in, we can do health and safety audits of their procedures, their practices, whether it's manual handling, all sorts of different aspects, particularly if they are in a heavy duty industry such as, you know, engineering, manufacturing businesses. Again, they have to be so compliant these days, and many try their hardest, but again, the raft of legislation just gets bigger and bigger. So again, my advice would be is if you're unsure, is to seek some advice. Again, you can get very clear guidance, even just initial guidance, often for free from someone like myself, just to give you some idea of where the pointers are that you need to focus on, because, you know, it's making sure that you're not setting yourself up for a fall or very expensive cost, and also potentially harming somebody, and it could be life-changing injuries or even fatal.
Because I think sometimes now, you know, when someone says, oh, no, you can't do that, you say, why? And they say health and safety, and you think, oh, not again.
Yeah.
Because it seems sometimes to have gone a bit over the top.
Yes.
But maybe we're just not focusing on what it could do to you, and you think, oh, well, I suppose, you know, it could do that. But it sometimes seems that things that we've always done and never got injured are not allowed anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you find that sometimes even in your role?
Very much so. There's no substitute for common sense at the end of the day. So, I mean, you know, and health and safety, a lot of it is common sense with a framework. So if you think you're putting yourself or others at risk by, you know, doing something that you're not comfortable with, then you're probably right. You are going to put yourself in sort of a risky situation.
My grandfather used to say, I don't know why it's called common sense, because it's not very common, you know.
Yeah, that's a good one.
No, and you think, oh, yes, I know, you know, but, yeah. And I suppose, you know, things where you're lifting things, if they haven't treated you or taught you how to lift things properly, you could injure your back, and that can affect you for life, can't it? Even things like that. It must be very, very complicated for you.
It can be, and certainly when I was in corporate roles, you know, we used to have to do a lot of work on, you know, manual handling and forklift truck driving, all those sorts of things, because, you know, if it's fundamentally part of your business, you have to show that you're protecting your employees as best you can, and you're protecting the business as well, because you know, people pull a muscle in their back, they can be off a weeks, so you have to replace them or get someone to step up, so it's a challenge.
It's such a business headache, and of course you've talked about health and safety, but what about staff and the nitty-gritty with staff issues? I mean, I'm sure somebody like you would save a company a lot of money by getting in before the staff problems arise, because often people lose staff when there's no need, and if they had someone like you, you would be able to help them look after their staff in the right way, would you, because of all that? Because there is that element to HR as well,
isn't
there?
Exactly. I think just because I've worked at a higher level, I've worked at HR director level, I've got a better view, I think, perhaps, than many, because I've done the strategic blank piece of paper, scope out what a business is trying to achieve, where its people strategy is concerned. And likewise, I've been the other end of the scale, and I've rolled up my sleeves, and I've helped, you know, exit people from the business or undertaken initiatives, because, you know, that's the way I've always operated. And it's important not to lose sight of, again, trying to understand what that business is wanting to achieve. So even, you know, a small business has growth goals that they want to achieve. And for me, it's about sitting alongside those business owners and saying, okay, where do you want to be in 12 months, 18 months, 2 years? What's the business going to look like? And what does that mean from a people point of view? And helping them scope out exactly what they're looking for, whether it's managing people that may already be on board, and it could be family members, it could be people that have been with them from day one, it could be bringing new people into the business, and managing that transition, because often when you have a small business and it's made up of family members and people that have been there from day one, as soon as you start to grow and you bring new people in, the whole dynamic changes. And that's often when lots of problems sort of start, because people aren't accepted, or, you know, people start to feel threatened. And that's when I can often go in and say, right, okay, let's take a back step here. Let's understand what we're trying to do, manage the communication, understand where the little sort of niggles are, and sort of look to iron them out. Because, again, from a business perspective, the owner doesn't want that. Like, they're growing their business. They're trying to take the next step forward. They've made a lot of time and effort and money investing in that.
So effective communication is key, isn't it? At that
very
point,
much so.
To stop you or stop a company from losing stuff that they don't want to lose.
Yeah.
And I think often you see that happening where people leave and, you know, they don't want them to leave, but it's too late. They've gone.
It's too late.
If only you'd managed that or had someone in like you to manage it.
My favourite two words are communication and education. So it is about talking, making it very clear what the business owner expects of those people that work for them. And likewise, from an education point of view, it is about developing people, you know, giving people an opportunity. And that's not just about, you know, people that are young and straight out of college. That's throughout the whole of your workforce. You know, we've got apprenticeships, lots of different ways that companies can tap into resources to help them develop their people. And if you have developed people, you have engaged people, which means you have people aligned to what you're trying to achieve.
I notice you also support schools and colleges to build relationships with local businesses.
I do, yes.
So that must be very useful for children to learn at a very early age on how things should be protected and all that sort of thing.
That's an example of sort of giving back. So it's working as an enterprise advisor. So I work with a school in Farnborough, and basically you go in and you help them with their careers advice. And I know from personal experience that you know, with my daughters, that it hasn't improved since I was at school. So it's making sure that you can try to tap into you know, the local business community as well as those schools, and create opportunities. So you know, get people to go in and talk about their business, provide some opportunity for work experience. You know, it's great just to make those connections.
Well, it sounds a really, really good business to be involved with, which is going to help so many people. So if someone wants to actually get in touch and get your advice or get you to go round and look at their business, yeah. what should they do?
Basically, if they get in touch with me, it's martine.robbins@hrdepartment.co.uk. I'm based in around the Woking area. Again, if you look at my website, which is www.hrdepartment.co.uk/Woking, my details will come up there. If anybody is keen to get involved in some training, I'm also running some free training in a couple of weeks, well, 15th of February, a few weeks' time now. So it's a free course, it's HR Essentials for small businesses. So again, my details are on the website there. We still have some places left. I'm more than happy to welcome some local Brilliant. Business owners to come and find out just, you know, some of the basic things to give them an insight in how to do things compliantly.
And that could actually change their lives, couldn't it?
In lots of ways. And there'll be other business owners there as well to share knowledge,
networking,
best practice.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Oh, well done you. Yeah. Lovely. Good. Well, thank you very much indeed for coming and talking to us about it.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk. Or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.